One of my favorite songs is the song that starts, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And I started to think about that song this week, and the reason there's something about that name is because Jesus decided to come to earth as a baby. Because I don't know if you know this, but through my study, I've discovered that the name Jesus was actually a really common name in the time that Jesus Christ walked the earth. And so there really wasn't that much about that name back then. It was a normal name. It was like being named Tim or Bob. But the reason that there's something about that name now is because God put on skin. God said, I love those people, and if I don't do something about the direction that they're heading, it's not going to end well. And so he decided to leave heaven, leave perfection, leave the right hand of the Father, come to earth, and take on the form of an infant, of a baby. Not the child of a ruler, or a king, or a diplomat, or a rich man, but the illegitimate child of a carpenter. And because he did that, we have this season called Advent, that we celebrate that reality, that truth that Christ came. That he loved us so much, that he loves us so much, that he wanted to come down here and do something about the direction that we were heading. And so leading up to the celebration of that night of Christmas Eve, where we celebrate him breaking through that cosmic barrier, we have a four-week process that we call Advent, and we focus on things like hope, like peace, like joy, and this week, love. I think Paul has a really good understanding of love. Paul writes about love in a lot of his books. 1 Corinthians 13 is probably one that you're really familiar with. Got some theme music going. Great. But I want to touch on Colossians 3 today. Before we get into the text that I picked for today, which is in Romans. But Colossians 3 starts like this. Since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, because all of this stuff is true, because Jesus chose to come to earth in the form of a child, give us an example of life, and then go to the cross. Because of all of that, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So far this Advent, we've covered hope, we've covered peace, we've covered joy. And now I want to encourage you to take the words of Paul from Colossians 3, and above all of these things, put on love, which binds all of these things together, all of these elements of the reality of Christ breaking through that barrier, coming to earth, God with skin on. Because all of that is true. We no longer live our own lives, but we give our lives to Christ. We've died and we've been risen with him. That's what Paul says. So we have to filter everything we do through the reality that we're called to love one another. There's a lot of themes in the New Testament, but above all of them is the theme of love. When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the answer? Love. In 1 John, when John's writing about love, and John is not usually one that has hard words for people, but he says, if you say you love God and you hate a brother or sister, you're a liar. I mean, he gives it to us pretty plain and simple. If you say you love God and you hate a brother or sister, you're a liar. Period. Paul in 1 Corinthians 13, he talks about love and he gives us a really good definition of love. And then he goes on to say, if you are a great prophet, but you don't have love, your voice is just a loud cymbal. And if you have these things going on in your life and life's going really well for you, but you don't have love, you're nothing. Love is what binds everything that we are in Christ together. And we can hit every other mark that Christ lays out before us in his commands. But if we fail to have love, we miss it. We miss all of it. We miss the point. It's all about love. Love is what drove God to come to earth in the first place. And love is what drove God to the cross. Love is the reason that he chooses to continually offer us grace and mercy when we haven't earned it, we don't deserve it. It's because he loves us. And as we've talked about all of these other elements of Advent, the hope, the peace, the joy, we understand that when Jesus first came to the earth, he started these things. He gave us these gifts that we celebrate in the Advent season. And when he comes back in the second Advent, in his second coming, when he returns to earth, he's going to complete them. The hope will be completed. The peace, the joy will be completed. And the love will be completed. But in the meantime, we have a responsibility to be those things in the earth. In the meantime, we are the incarnation. Christ dwells within us. And so we're the ambassadors for these elements of Advent. And above all, we should wear love. Above all, we should be love in this broken world. Think about some of the stuff that's happened recently in the news. Ferguson, Missouri. All I have to do is name that town, and you know what I'm talking about. And then shortly after that, a man by the name of Eric Garner was killed accidentally, maybe on purpose, I don't know, by the police, causing more riots. And then just over the weekend, maybe you don't know this yet, two New York City police officers were gunned down while they were having lunch. A lot of what's happening in our world is the antithesis of love. It's the opposite of it. It's madness. It's chaos. So what would it look like for us, the church, the body of Christ, to put on love and represent Christ in this fallen and broken world? What would it look like for us to, instead of being part of the problem, to start being part of the solution? What would that look like? What would it mean for us to love above all else? This time a few years ago, there was this big thing going on about the Mayan calendar. You remember that? About how people were afraid that was just, it was going to be over. I read a joke about that. So there's a Mayan man working on a calendar, and his friend comes along and says, "Can you give me a hand with this? I really need to move this pile of rocks before my wife gets home. I'm going to be ticked." And the man working on the calendar said, "I really should finish this calendar, but I guess if I don't, it's not the end of the world." The truth is, I remember a lot of the stuff that was happening around the Mayan calendar hysteria. I remember seeing a commercial for a car salesman, and he called it the end of the world sale. Come and buy this car before I think it was December 21st, it was supposed to be the end of the world, right? So come and buy this car before December 21st, and if the world ends, it's paid off. I mean, that was his sales pitch. And it's kind of funny, and there was a lot of funny jokes going around on social media and stuff at the time, but I thought, is this how people really want to act if it's the end of the world? Is this really where we want to be found? What if just for one day we actually lived like it really was the last day of our lives? What would you do? Who would you seek out? Who would you try to reconcile with? How would you treat other people if you knew that this was your last day on earth? If somehow you got in on the secret and found out when Jesus was actually coming back, would you live differently? And as you're thinking about your answer to that question, if your answer is yes, I would live differently, then why aren't you already living that way? If you would live differently knowing that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, why aren't you already living that way? Advent is about preparing for the coming of Christ. It means hopeful anticipation. That's the actual definition of Advent, hopeful anticipation. We're preparing for Him to come, not physically, because He's already done that. He'll do it again, but it's not for us to know. But we're preparing for Him to come in spirit, and He's already here. He dwells with us and in us. And until He comes back, we're supposed to be His ambassadors, His hands and His feet, His mouth, His heart. We're supposed to be exactly what Beth is asking us to be. To love people unconditionally, without need for more information. To just love because they deserve to be loved. I mean, I don't remember Jesus asking what we've done to deserve His coming. How'd you get yourself in this situation in the first place? I don't think that that's a prerequisite for our salvation. It was just, you know what? You're in a bad place, and it's going to get worse, so I'm going to come down and take care of it for you. And a lot of times when we live with our earthly minds and our fallen focus, we lose track of that. And we see down and outers. We've seen people that are poor, maybe not financially, maybe poor in spirit. Maybe they don't have the spiritual riches that we do. And rather than just love them unconditionally, we try to figure out how they got themselves in that situation in the first place. And maybe we decide they don't deserve our help or our love. And when I read scriptures, I find that that's not really our responsibility to do. It's not for us to decide who does and doesn't get our help and our love. God says, love. Love me and love others. And if you say you love me and you don't love others, you're a liar. So how do we do that? It's probably the opposite of what we would think. It's not by trying harder. It's by submitting. It's by giving up our preferences, giving up what we want, giving up our right to comfort, and to allow God to refocus and recondition our minds. Paul talks about it in Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that rather than trying to figure out whether or not someone deserves our help or to have our love, we just simply love them because God first loved us. It's a change in perspective. When we look at somebody from where we sit, it's really easy to judge them, to ask those questions. But when we look at them from God's perspective, we see them simply as broken people that need love, that need help, that need to know that there are people out there in the world that aren't judging them. And the reason that that's true is because there's a God out there who's greater than all of us that desires to have a relationship with them. If you haven't taken a chance this season yet to prepare your heart for the coming of Christ, it's not too late. This is Advent 4, the last Sunday before Christmas. But the reality is, this thing that we talk about during Advent, this way of life, these elements of Christ's coming, they're not just for December. This is really the way God wants us to live all the time. And so it's not too late to prepare. Actually, it's the perfect time to prepare. Because now you can start 2015 off with a new perspective. Asking for God to help you see things from His point of view instead of yours. The Mayan calendar wasn't the end of the world. We don't know when that's coming. It's only for God to know. That shouldn't stop us from living every day like today's the day. When I wrote that question out, I said, wow. Because that hit me like a ton of bricks. If you would live differently, knowing that Jesus was coming back today, why aren't you already living that way? What a simple yet profound question. Jesus chose flesh and blood. He chose you and me. He chose love and compassion. And He didn't do it just to go to the cross. He did it first and foremost to show us that that's the way we should go. That's the life we should choose. So this Christmas, I want to encourage you to hope. To choose to be peace. To choose to experience and pass on joy. And above all, to put on the agape love of Christ that puts others first and removes our preconceived notions and preferences from the equation. To live like He's coming today. And to be loved because He first loved us. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for Your love. It's the only reason that we're here today. If You didn't love us, we wouldn't know what existence was. So, Lord, we thank You. We thank You that Your love outweighed Your wrath and that You chose to give us a way to have communion with You forever. Lord, there are people out there that aren't choosing that path. But there are people in here that have chosen that path and as a result are called to share that news with others. So Lord, I pray whether it's by word or by action, by giving, by supporting, by encouraging, by maybe giving a tough word, or whatever You call us to do to represent that into the world, I pray that we would be found obedient to do it. And that we would take our call as Your representatives in this world seriously. That we would do our best to bring these elements of Advent to reality while we wait for Your second coming. It's a great responsibility, Lord, and I pray that we all would be found obedient and willing. And as in everything, all the praise, glory, and honor go to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.